Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at Strength for the Journey. It's strength with the number 4, thejourney.com. And this radio program is number 36 if you're listening by shortwave radio. Today we're going to talk a little bit about what it takes really to be a follower of Jesus. I have some things that have been heavy on my heart recently, but I want to share a little bit about some things that are going on right now with the ministry here in Panama. We have a good friend of mine that came down here recently, and he sent about 35,000 tracts, and we've passed out and distributed probably close to 30,000 so far. And we have a goal right now to raise enough money to get another 100,000 tracts down here. They're Chick tracts by Chick Publications. And they have stories on them. They're very well-read. People really enjoy reading them because they have a story that goes with the message of the gospel. And especially young people and children just really love them. And our goal right now is to raise enough money for 100,000 tracts. We have enough money raised right now for 50,000 tracts, but we're going for another 50. We get a better break. We get another 5 or 10% off, plus we get free shipping all the way to Panama. So we're looking to raise another $3,500. If you are so inclined that you would like to help with this particular part of our ministry of the tracts, our website does have a donate button. I would greatly appreciate any help. We have about $4,500 raised. We need another $3,500 for the rest of these tracts. And we have a crusade coming up in November with Third Day Power. And we'll be doing a crusade across Panama starting in Colon, Panama, and we'll be doing a lot of open-air meetings. We'll be going into schools and colleges. We're already setting up other cities right now to do open meetings right there in the town squares, and they do demonstrations of strength with their incredible power that they have, a husband and wife team. They tear up telephone books, 2.5-3-inch telephone books with their bare hands and break baseball bats. But what's really interesting is our friend Janet Clark can do all this as well, which is pretty amazing. So we are very excited about the upcoming events that are going to take place here in Panama. And God is opening amazing doors. That is, we're just really excited about reaching the lost here in Panama. So I want to share a little bit today about some things that have been kind of heavy on my heart. Earlier this month, I received a word the Lord gave me early in the morning before the sun came up. And I posted that word on our website. It's on August 2nd under a link called Today's Rhema. And it was a very dividing word that would make people really consider about really are they going to be the Lord's bride. And he's really making a clear distinction between the love of this world and the love for him. And I woke up again this last week, and this is what I began to write. There will be no sin justified or excused before a holy God. Instead of justifying, rationalizing sin, or excusing sin, saying to ourselves, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, or the blood of Jesus covers my faults, the things we do wrong should be an indication of whether we have more of a desire to please ourselves than please God. If we would rather please ourselves than God, it indicates that we love ourselves more than God. We have, and by doing so, we've disqualified ourselves from being his disciple and following him. Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, if we love anyone more than him, including ourselves, that we cannot be his disciple. In Luke, it says here that if the love of this world, or actually in James, it says that the love of this world is enmity with God. Actually, it's in James 4:4, it says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Therefore, whosoever will be a friend of this world is an enemy of God. And then I went on to write, if the love of this world is enmity with God, then it is our choice to love what he hates. This life is a test of allegiance. It is a test of a choice and choices we live to make. And the choices we make indicate the condition of our heart. In Matthew 15:19, it says, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. So out of the heart come these things. These are what defile a man. No one can cure a problem by treating a symptom. The cause must be treated, and the cause is within our heart. Therefore, we need to purify our hearts. The inside of the cup must be clean before the outside of the cup will be clean. The problem is the heart is hidden, and the one most hidden is from us. David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there's any wicked thing in me. By David allowing God to search his heart, his humility allowed God to reveal the true nature of his own heart. God showed him his own heart and let David see the difference between his heart and God's. David wanted to please the heart of God more than his own, and that is what made him a man after God's own heart. So what's in our heart? Will we open it up for God to inspect it, or is it off limits? If it's off limits to God's inspection, it will be out of our own view as well. Would you rather make excuses for your sin or deal with it? What do we do? Do we broom it under the rug, thinking it's just under the blood? Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. True repentance offers no excuses. I'll repeat that. True repentance offers no excuses. If we are making excuses, it indicates our lack of repentance. Repentance takes humility, and a lack of repentance indicates pride. God gives grace to the humble, but resists the proud. So if there is an indication of pride, it needs to be dealt with, that we might receive his grace. We are so desperately need of. Pride will put an impenetrable wall around ourselves to his mercy and grace. It's not God who puts the wall around us, it's ourself. Therefore, there's no one to blame but ourself. Our excuses will only excuse ourselves from his presence. Are we looking for a way in or a way out? Our excuses will excuse us. You know, there was a number of people that Jesus referred to when he was calling them to himself. And it says in Luke chapter 14, verse 16, it says, then he said to him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all at once began to consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen. I need to go prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So what happened was God was calling people to himself. But rather than looking for a way in, they were looking for a way out. That they were actually excusing themselves and the calling that they had on, that God had on his life. And God's not looking for excuses. He's looking for, he's trying to get us to throw our excuse book into the fire, because ultimately when we stand before him, that's where it's going to go. There's going to be no excuse that's going to stand in his presence. You know, it's sad because people's own excuses actually determines, or their choices actually determine their destiny. And the honest truth is, if we have it our way in this life, we won't have it our way in the life to come. You know, somebody posted something on Facebook this last week, and it was a wife of a very popular pastor. And she began to encourage the people. I imagine it was probably before the service. And here's what she said. She said, I just want everyone to encourage everyone of us to realize that we obey God. When we obey God, We're not doing it for God. I mean, that's one way to look at it, but we're really doing it for ourselves because God takes pleasure when we're happy. That's the thing that makes him, brings him his greatest joy. So I want you to know this morning, just do good for your own self. Do good because God wants you to be happy. When you come to church, when you worship him, you're not doing it for God, really. You're doing it for yourself because that's what makes God happy. Amen? And I sat there like, are you kidding me? Is this what really makes God happy? Is this what pleases God when we are pleasing ourselves? Because it's really just the opposite. There's books that were written by her husband. One of them is called Love Your Life. And the scripture that came to me was in John. And it says that he that loves his life will lose it. And I'm thinking, you know, where is this coming from? Is this just a gospel that's tickling people's ears that they want to please themselves? So these are words that are not challenging, that the gospel does present a very challenging message. He said, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel is the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So where are we all right now? What kind of message are we listening or desiring to listen to? Because the truth is in God's word. And I'm sad to say that many people are not listening to God's word. They're not hearing it. Even if they read it, they glance over the very difficult scriptures. They don't want to receive it. And they're not, because they're not hungry for the truth. Because if your heart is not hungry for the truth, then you'll find a way to excuse yourself from the very difficult words that Jesus spoke. You know, we've mentioned before on the program about John chapter 6 that many of his disciples, when they heard a very difficult word Jesus gave, it said they walked away and no longer walked with him. And I'm afraid that probably many of these churches today that are not preaching the true gospel, they would probably have a mass exodus if they actually told the truth about what Jesus really said. So I want to challenge each one of you that are listening to get into the Bible for yourself. And I even want to make even a greater challenge that you read the red letters of the Gospels, because Jesus didn't give anybody a very easy word to receive. It was many times very difficult. He said, if you want to follow me, and this is what's so critical, if you want to follow the real me, you have to forsake all. That you have to deny yourself. And deny yourself is not like just a bunch of words. It means literally to deny yourself, that you no longer live for yourself. Because as long as you're living for yourself, you will never live for God. You may think you are. You may think that just doing a few good things is a justification for the truth, which is you're still living for yourself. That the only way that you can actually live for the Lord is to completely die to yourself. And that's a process. That's why he said that you must die daily. That you must pick up your cross and follow me. In other words, when you've got a cross dragging on your back, that you are literally going to your death. And it doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what people say. Because you're already dead to yourself. That you're the only one that really matters is pleasing God. And that is why it says all that live godly will suffer persecution. Because if you're living your life like him, you're going to cause a lot of turmoil in other people's lives. When light comes into darkness, there's a confrontation that takes place, but light always wins. Darkness cannot prevail when light is. And Jesus said that you are the light of the world. He said that we are the light of the world, and that we need to let our light so shine among men that it may expose the evil deeds. But the problem is it takes a confrontation that many people are not willing to make, that they don't like to be confrontive. They don't want to really be not liked. And that's why when we are not living our life, or when we compromise our life, it actually, we become a friend of the world, because then there's no confrontation to what they're doing wrong. And I saw this very vividly one time when a man was sharing his testimony, and he said that he came to the door. Someone knocked on the door. He went to the door, and his brother was there. And literally, he said he saw light coming from his brother. And the guy kind of jumped back and said, "What's going on with you? What's this light coming out of you?" And he said, "Well, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and he's changed my whole life." And the guy said in his testimony that it was because he saw the change in his brother, that's why he accepted the Lord. And I thought to myself, well, this light, nobody's come to my door, or I've come to their door, and they said, "What's this light coming out of you?" And this is when I had just given my heart to the Lord. And he said to me, that says that the area of compromise is that my light lives when each one of my believers. He said, but the areas of compromise in your life are like filters layered one on top of the other. And those filters are in the form of what the world sees in themselves, they see in you. And so I began to think about some of the things that I was doing wrong in my life that was like the world. I had a pretty foul mouth, and this God kind of convicted me big time when a friend, another guy I knew, that said that I accepted the Lord and that, you know, God was, making a difference in my life or whatever. I can't remember exactly what he said, but this other guy said, "Yeah, well, some Christian, he is." He said, "You ought to hear him talk, you know." And so I realized that was a filter in my life from letting the light shine. And I realized I needed to make some changes. And I also began to look at the scripture. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I started really examining my heart, because I figured if it was coming out of my mouth, then it must be somewhere down deep inside my heart. And this is where I began to really examine my life and really look inside my heart, which all of us need to do, because these are where all these things come from. Because out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. So if we're not going to deal with the heart, we'll never deal with the cause of the problem. That's why Jesus said you have to clean the inside of the cup first. What is inside, what's hidden, has to be dealt with first before the rest of the cup can be clean. And we're going to listen to a song here in just a moment. It's called "With Everything" by Hillsong. Open our eyes to see the things that make your heart cry, to be the church that you would desire. Earthly crowns and all our dear. will you give him everything? You know, God's not a greedy God that he has to have everything. It says he already owns everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's all his. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. What he wants us to give him is everything, because it's for our own good. That what we hang on to is literally what destroys us. You know, there's a way that they catch monkeys, and they hollow out a coconut and they put some sort of treat inside the coconut. They make a hole just big enough for the hand of the monkey to go into, and they attach this coconut to a tree. And when the monkey reaches his hand into that coconut to grab what it wants, it makes a fist, and the fist is too large to come out the hole. And when that happens, the monkey will not let go of what's inside that coconut. And the captors come and capture that monkey. And literally, if you can just imagine, that coconut is the world. And when we reach our hand into the world to grab a hold of the things of this world, and we won't let go of it, it literally is what captures us. It captures our heart. And it's only when we're willing to release what we have is when we can be free. Because as long as our hand is inside that coconut of this world, it keeps us bound and it keeps us captive. If you remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira, it's in Acts chapter 5. There was a man that, there was a great revival that was happening in the church, and people saw they wanted to participate in this revival. So they sold lands and possessions. They considered nothing of their own, that everything they had was somebody else's that was in need. And one man named Barnabas says he sold possessions and lands, and he brought the proceeds and laid it at the apostles' feet. And said, but there's another man named Ananias, and he sold lands or whatever he had and came and only put part of the proceeds. And then he had committed all, but he only gave part. And the part that he didn't give to God was the part that killed him and his wife. And we have to realize that God wants all for our own good, because the part that we don't give to God is the part that the enemy still has a hold of our heart. And that's the part that will destroy us, because we're not willing to let it go. And like the monkey with his hand in the coconut, our captors will come and capture us. The enemy will capture us and take our soul, because we wouldn't let go. In Luke chapter 14, verse 33, it says, likewise, whosoever be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. So in order to follow the Lord, we have to let go of what we've got. We have to let go of the things that grip our heart, the things that we feel like we can't live without. I didn't really understand the scripture like I do now until I actually did forsake all, and we moved out of the United States and moved to a foreign country with only suitcases. And this was literally my deliverance. I didn't realize how much of a grip the world had on my heart until I obeyed God. And he said, I was thinking about taking a container, and he said, no, you're not taking a container, you're taking suitcases. And when I realized that God is asking all of us everything, that he doesn't want us to hold on to anything that would destroy us, because the enemy is at work. And if we seek the things of this world, we're being baited by the enemy. And God is looking for a bride that's willing to give up all. He's willing that nothing else matters but pleasing him. Because if you think about it, if you're looking for a bride or you're looking for a mate, do you want a mate that doesn't really love you? Maybe they just want to marry you for your stuff. Maybe they're a liar. Maybe they're an adulterer. They won't be faithful. Who would want to marry somebody that would not be faithful to them? And God is looking for faithful people. And this life right now is an indication of our faithfulness. It's a test of of whether who we really love, if we really love this world or we love Him. And if we love this world, our destiny will be this world, in the heart of this world, because our heart is in the things of this world. And we have to let go. We have to let go and say, God, whatever you want me to do, if you want me to go to a foreign land, if you want me to preach the gospel wherever I go, if you want me to pass out tracts, I'll do it, because I know your heart is souls, and I want what you want. And I just encourage you to just really seek the Lord right now with all of your heart and find out what He wants you to do with your life. And whatever it is He puts on your heart, just be obedient, because that is where our blessing is in our obedience to Him. And if you will do that, that God will do amazing things in your life. So thank you again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength4thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.